How often do we hear someone say, "I trust God, but"? Maybe you have said or thought the same thing yourself. We know that God is sovereign, that He loves us, and He wants what's best for us. Yet there is many times that one thing that we just can't seem to let go of. We may give it to the Lord, but we end up taking it right back again because we're just not sure that we can really trust Him to take care of it. As we will discuss today, this is caused by fear and unbelief, and I have 5 steps for you to combat that fear and to learn to trust God for the outcome. Girls, in this episode, there will be a lot of scripture and information that you are going to want to take notes on, as well as some things that I'm going to ask you to write down. So go grab your pen and paper, and let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. I have something super exciting that I can't wait to share with you. You know what, girls? As you make your summer plans, I want you to save this date. It's July 12th and 13th coming up this summer because my church is hosting a marriage seminar. It's going to be Friday evening and all day on Saturday. My church is in Waxahachie, Texas. So if you're anywhere near there, plan to be at this marriage seminar. It's going to be a great time. There's going to be a lot of teaching, as well as 2 breakout sessions where I will be teaching the wives. So it'll just be us, and they'll be teaching on being a submissive wife and some other things, a question and answer time for you. It's going to be a great time. If you are not married yet, that's okay. If you're dating, knowing that you're going to be getting married, whatever the case is, you're welcome to come. You can come as a couple or you can come by yourself if you would like to. That's totally fine too. Just save the date for July 12th and 13th for this summer, and I hope to see you there. So on with our topic for today. Trusting God with everything in our lives is so much easier said than done. When things are going well and we're quick to say, "Sure, I trust God." However, when we're faced with challenges and uncertainty, it's not quite so easy. That's when we tend to think or say, "Well, I trust God, but," or we may pray and tell God what our concerns are and ask Him to work in our lives and to change things. But then we end up taking it right back again as we begin to worry about it and are trying to find the solution to our problems on our own. Before we really get into this, there's something that I want to make you aware of that is a lie from the enemy. You see, society tells us that as people, we're supposed to be strong. We don't like to think of ourselves as being fearful or afraid because that would mean that we are weak. So we tend to stay away from the word fear. But the enemy likes to feed us fears. He likes us to be weakened by them. So he has come up with a new word for our fear or being afraid that is a bit more acceptable because it has the connotation that, well, it's not my fault or I don't have any control over it. So now, fear is often referred to as anxiety or anxiousness. With this comes anxiety disorders and medications to take care of it. However, the definition of anxiety is a state of apprehension, uncertainty, and fear resulting from the anticipation of a realistic or fantasized threatening event or situation, often impairing physical or psychological functioning. Synonyms to the word anxiety are anxious, concerns, care, and fear, all of which are mentioned in Scripture as God tells us what causes this and instructions for what to do when we are afraid. I say this not to discount your feelings in any way. Fear and anxiety is a very real thing. But if we know the truth, if we follow God's teaching about fear, then we can be free of its strongholds once and for all. When we say, I trust God, but, it generally means that we have a fear of something. Fear of what will happen in the future. Maybe what our challenges are in our marriages, and so we're afraid of what that future looks like. Fear of what somebody may do or not do to us or for us. So a fear that, you know, maybe you and your husband are not on the same page, and so you're concerned about where his decisions are going to lead you. Fear over our finances and how on earth are we going to pay our bills. Or fear of not being accepted by others. Do they truly like me? And fear of being a good wife. Like, are we going to completely mess up our marriages because we're not a godly wife? Or are we going to mess up our kids because we're not the kind of mom that we want to be? These are all very real fears. But God does not want us to live in fear. So I have these 5 steps for you to combat your fear and to learn to trust God for the outcome. And step 1 is to identify your fear. What is it exactly that you are afraid of? To do this, let's first look at a few facts about fears. Fact 1 is that fear is caused by unbelief. We see this depicted in Matthew chapter 8, where some of Jesus' disciples were with him on a boat, and a storm arose, causing the men to be fearful for their lives. And Jesus is sleeping on the boat. And so the men go and they wake him up and they ask him for his help, like, hey, why are you sleeping? Don't you know what's happening outside? And Jesus tells them in verse 26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. It is our lack of faith in Christ that causes us to fear. When we don't trust God with our problem or our concern because we're unsure if he can really take care of it. Like, is he really sovereign over everything? We're afraid that he may not love us enough to help us. Like, maybe we've messed up too much. We've sinned too much. We've walked too far away from God and we're not righteous enough in his eyes. And so he won't help us. Or do we believe that God will work on our situation, but, you know, he might not quite do it the way that I think that it should be done. And so maybe I need to take care of it myself to make sure that it's done my way. I know for myself, when I've had a hard time trusting it in God, it's because I used to think, like, I know that God is able, but is he willing? Like, does he even know what's happening in my life? And is he willing to take the time to listen to my prayers, to answer them, and to take care of whatever is happening that I am concerned about. In John 14, 1 and 2, we read, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. As believers, we find comfort in this because we know that Jesus is talking about us. We have put our faith and our hope in the salvation message of the gospel, and we know that there is now a place for us in heaven because Jesus tells us that there's a place in heaven. Not too long ago, I came to this realization that if I believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins, that Jesus willingly gave his life for me so that I would have that place in heaven to spend eternity with him? If I believe all this to be true, so much so that I put my future hope in his salvation, then why on earth would I not believe everything else that is written in Scripture, wholeheartedly and full, in the same way that I believe that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins and that I will spend eternity with him? I tend to learn best by example, and I love reading about the accounts in Scripture of how God interacted with people's lives because I draw insight and strength and hope from them. See, God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child in their old age. And in Romans 4:20 through 21, we read this, and it's talking about Abraham here. And it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So even though Abraham and Sarah were both well past the age of childbearing, Abraham fully believed that God would keep his promise to him. Hebrews 11, which is entitled the Hall of Faith, is a list of faithful people written in Scripture, and I recommend that you go and read it. Maybe even take a little bit of time and look up those accounts of some of the people written in Scripture in Hebrews 11 and see how God worked in their lives. It is so encouraging to do this. The next fact about fear is that fear is not of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this clearly, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you are wrestling with fear and anxiety right now, it is not from God. And whatever is not from God is from the enemy. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 29:25 tells us, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Snares are from the enemy to trip us up and distract us from the truth and the peace that we find in God. They must be dealt with like any other sin or distraction that hinders our relationship with God. The enemy wants you in bondage to your fear, to make you think that you can't get past it, that there's no hope, that there's no way that this is ever going to end. But that's not what your Heavenly Father wants for you. In Romans 8:15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. As a believer, you have been adopted into the family of God. You are a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who loves you and has the power to calm the seas, to calm the winds, and to calm all your fears. Fact 3 is that the opposite of fear is peace. As believers, our peace is from God. We have a peace in our hearts when we believe in who God is and that He is mighty in His strength and His power over our lives, as well and in His faithfulness and His love for us. Jesus Himself tells us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives us His peace. And as we're going to read in a minute, it is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And He doesn't give it to us as the world gives. It's not for a price. It's not with strings attached. It's not a peace that may fail us. Because the peace that Jesus gives us, our hearts are to not be troubled. Neither are we to be afraid. Because the peace of Jesus washes out fear. In Philippians 4:7, it tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This means that even in the midst of our trouble, in the chaos, in the circumstances where anyone would think, how can I not be afraid? We can have peace because God's peace surpasses all understanding, no matter what is happening around us. There have been people in the midst of tragedy where their own future or the future of a loved one literally hung in the balance. And yet they had this peace that came over them from the Lord that was indescribable, one that can only come from God because they trusted in God for the outcome. This indescribable peace is available to all who will put their faith and trust in God. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." This is how we do this, ladies. We keep our minds focused on God, on his promises, on his love for us. And then he gives us this perfect peace that only he can provide. So I want you to stop and think for a minute. What are you afraid of? To help you determine this, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. And it's kind of the same question, but just put in a couple of different ways. Where do you have a lack of peace? Or another way is, what do you worry about? Or what do you say, "I trust God, but"? Take a minute, pause the episode, and write it down. All right, so step one was to identify your fear. Step two is to replace your fear with the truth of God's word. If fear is caused by unbelief in either not knowing what God is capable of or how much he loves us or in not believing in his faithfulness to us, then we combat that fear by replacing that thought, that fear that we have, with the truth of God's word. So let me give you some examples. If you have a fear that you're alone in your circumstances and that there's no one that can help you, God tells us this in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So see here, God is telling us that you're not alone, that God is with you and he's giving you strength and he's upholding you with his righteous right hand. No matter where you are, no matter what is going on in your life, he is there. So the truth is, you are not alone. God is with you. The next one is, if you think that you have walked too far away from God and that he won't or can't help you or find you. Yet God tells us this in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As a child of God, you are never too far from him. You are never out of his reach. And that is what the truth is. It is, you are never in a place where God is unable to reach you or to work in your life. The next one is, are you afraid that the problems or circumstances are too great and there's no hope? Scripture assures us in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So the truth is, even when we are in the midst of tragedy, of difficult circumstances, when we can't see a way out, we can have peace and not have fear of evil because God is with us. His rod and his staff guides us like a shepherd guides his sheep, and he comforts us. In the beginning, I gave you a list of things that can cause us to have fear. Like if you have fear of the future, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future." Or if you have a fear of that somebody is not going to do something that they need to, or is going to cause problems for you in some way, Psalms 118:6 tells us, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Or if there is a fear over your finances, Matthew 6:32 and 34 assures us, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And then if you have a fear of not being accepted by others, 1 John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." If God died on the cross for you, then you are loved and you are accepted by Him. It doesn't matter if anybody else accepts us or not. God has accepted us and adopted us into His family. And then if you have a fear of being a good wife or a good mom, Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. The Lord guides us and directs us as we work through our sanctification and being the godly wives and moms that He's called us to be. Remember that fear is caused by unbelief, by not fully believing either a truth about God or His promises that are written to us in Scripture. So here's the second time that I want you to write something down. And this time, I want you to think about that fear that you wrote down a minute ago. And how does it correlate with an unbelief that you have about God or about His promises? What truth is written in Scripture that you are not believing? And that's what's causing you to have this fear. So take a minute and write it down. Step one was to identify your fear. Step two was to replace that fear with the truth of God's word. And now step three is to take every thought captive. Earlier we read in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is where the enemy likes to attack us, and to cause us doubts and fears is in our minds. He brings us thoughts of condemnation, lies about God's faithfulness, and about God's love for us, thoughts that are not of God, seeking whom He may destroy. Like, what kind of little wedge can I get in there to make them doubt God? That's exactly what He did with Eve. If you go back and read about Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden, he's like, did God really say that? So that's where the enemy starts, is to get us to doubt and to fear. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So where it says exalts itself against the knowledge of God, these are the thoughts that we have that go against God's word. When we are not believing in who God is, when we are not believing in His promises, and we are doubting, those thoughts of God doesn't hear my prayer, or He doesn't see what's happening in my life, or He's not able to work in this situation, or I can't trust Him to do what's best for me or to take care of this, so I have to do it on my own. Or like the thoughts that I had is that, well, yes, He's able, but is He willing? Well, of course He's willing. He's my Heavenly Father. And then we are told in this verse to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This means that we are to take our thoughts and to check them up against Scripture and preach the truth to ourselves if our thoughts do not align with what God says. David did this when he was being chased by King Saul, and he had great reason to fear because he had a king and all of his army after him trying to kill him. But in Psalms 27:1, it says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, David was reminding himself of who God is and God's love for him, of His sovereignty and His strength. And he was reminding himself that because God was with him, he doesn't need to be afraid, not of any man, not even a king and his army can prevail against the Lord. Romans 8:5 and 6 tells us, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We as believers are not to set our minds on the things of the flesh or the things of this world, which brings death. But we are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, the truth of God's word that brings life and peace. So I have one more thing for you to write down today. I want you to write down some recent thoughts that you have had that you need to take captive. Thoughts where you need to preach to yourself the truth of Christ, to be obedient to His teaching, and to dispel your fears. So pause the episode, write them down. Hopefully today you have learned a few facts about fear, identified what it is that you are afraid of when you say, I trust God, but, and that you also have an idea of what the truth is that you can replace your fear with, what thoughts that you need to take captive to be obedient to Christ. Next week, we're going to look at steps 4 and 5 of how to combat our fears and to trust God. In the meantime, I'd like you to spend some time during your quiet time or some other time of day and do a little research to find some scripture that replaces your fear with the truth. I happen to have the YouVersion Bible app. It's free and it's easy to download. It's great. And it has this discover feature down there at the bottom, and you can type in whatever it is that you want. You can type in fear, or you can, you know, type in different things, and then it will bring up scriptures for you that have to do with that topic. So I recommend that, or whatever Bible app you happen to use, or if you want to look in the back of your Bible and look things up, that's totally fine too, whatever you're comfortable with. I just find this particular Bible app, like I said, it's the YouVersion Bible app. I find it to be very helpful in doing this. There's one side note to that though. In this app, or in any app that you have, you're going to be able to choose from an array of Bible versions of, you know, whatever the translation or interpretation is. And I would ask that you either choose the New King James Version, the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, the MEV, which is the Modern English Version, or the ASV, which is the American Standard Version. All of these versions of the Bible are translations of the original language. They are not interpretations, which means they're not what somebody thinks that the scripture says. I know that there are those out there that would tell you, oh, hey, you need this in order to be able to understand it. The Holy Spirit comes with God's word and helps us to discern it and to understand it. So if you're having a hard time with any of it, just pray over it and ask for the Lord to help you, or, you know, ask me, ask some other mentor and get some help for it. But, you know, those interpretations can really kind of lead us down a wrong direction. So we want to make sure that we have a translation of the scripture. Also know too that if you have any questions and need help in finding a scripture, feel free to post it on the Faith Lived Out community page. We're here to help each other. And you know, the scripture tells us that iron sharpens iron, which means as believers, we help each other to grow and to learn in God's word. So post it on there. One of us will respond to you and to be able to help you find the truth that is in God's word to combat your fears. Have a blessed day, ladies. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, ooh, she needs to hear this? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, @faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.